different corners, I would ask this question. If what Brother Habib is saying is just right, then why all this much of dispute? Then why they do not have the same idea about, for example, different issues? Why they have different ideas? Why we do not have the same idea about the same thing?
There's many factors that can happen. But one of the factors is this: what is my worldview?
Yeah.
For example, what is my worldview? For example, if I am a person whose worldview is divine, meaning that I believe in an almighty who I have to then oblige myself to, then understanding that the laws of religion are easy for me. I accept them,
regardless,
even if I may not like them. However, a person who doesn't have that type of worldview, who has the alternate worldview, which is hakim, or superior in the world today, which is the humanistic worldview, that human nature, or not human nature, rather human, is the one who sets the laws. Whatever I feel is better for me, I will do. If I feel I am not comfortable with it, I will stand up against it. I do not need anybody else to tell me. I am an individual. I know what is best for me. The only thing that I should and should not do is harm somebody else. That is the limit of where...
This is the humanistic.
This is humanistic. This is where the box is. What is the box? I can do anything I want as long as it doesn't harm physically somebody else.
Yeah.
So my worldview plays a part. This is one of the main kind of crux on this thing. That also then goes back, how do you form a worldview?
Mm-hmm.
Differences form there. How do you form a worldview? Forms when, you know, the knowledge you have, the understanding you have of the world around you. That then goes back to where, how you were brought up, your family, your school. Everything plays a part in that.
Your education, yes.
Everything plays a part in that particular worldview that you get. Doesn't mean that you're stuck in that worldview.
Yeah.
You can change. Similarly, if you want to put it inside the Islamic form, when it comes to interpretation of Islamic texts, certain Islamic scholars have a certain worldview. For example, some scholars are very textual related, some are more intellectual related, or more in terms of the aql, in terms of the naql. There's a whole discussion on this. Therefore, we see even within the Islamic seminary right now, there are differences of opinion. Not on things that are firm, not on things that are... For example...
So this is the point. I wanted to get into there exactly. So even if we have disagreements, it is not on the fundamental issues.
No, no.
Yes, that's very true. So before we continue, let's go for a short break and listen to something, and then we'll be back. In today's episode, we actually are talking about religion and how it differs from different cultures, different perspectives. We actually went through some interesting points.
I just wanted to elaborate on the words of my brother. And the fact is that a lot of factors play in the role of understanding religion. Because religious texts are a bridge, a path that we use to reach reality. And when the goal is to reach reality. The texts are mere bridges, mere paths. Understanding the paths, as I stated, and I defend it, that there are ways to understand it 100% completely correct.
Yeah, for those
there's
who
no
want
difference
to
in it. There's not going to be any problems with that. The thing is that when we want to reach reality, various factors play. One of the things that he stated was worldwide view. Allama Tabatabai, in his Tafsir al-Mizan, has a very nice talk about whether we cannot reach reality, let's put it out like reality, unless that we have cleansed ourselves. Why? Because if you have not cleansed yourself, you still have that desire.
Yeah.
You're going into the worldly matters. What brings the maslaha to me?
That
what
would
brings
deviate
the good to me?
You.
What is more important to me? I hate this person, so I want to make the reality my reality. I want to change the reality. This plays a role in understanding the text. Because for example, when I see a saying that says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, those who give the charity and alms while doing ruku'ah, another person will come and see it as well and read the text. The text is clear, but the thing is that this person does not believe that who is the true successor, and I believe who the true successor is. It will play a role in understanding the verse. it will play a role in interpreting the Quran and what the Quran is trying to talk about reality, because words are mere tools to reach reality. So this really plays a role. Another thing that I want to add that's very important, very quick, is that especially during divine texts, especially the Shia school of thought, the Shia heritage, we have this concept of ikhtilaful hadith, which is verily studied. Why did the Imam alayhi salam give different answers to different questions? And what I just said, this sentence by itself needs like an entire book just to talk
exactly,
about.
Exactly, yes.
And that's why we finished time and I can't, and I borrowed a minute from my brother. I'm very sorry.
Let's talk about Hablul Mateen and Urwatul Wuthqa. These expressions, first, define them, give the equivalent for them, and they symbolize what exactly?
A very literal translation of Hablul Mateen is that firm, strong rope.
Yeah.
Urwatul Wuthqa, this firm hold that is of one particular reality that is higher up. But that higher up reality gives something down that us individuals here in this full of multiplicity of different polarities are able to hang on to. So what it basically means, again, this particular concept can be used in very different facets of human life. For example, if you want to use it on a social factor, especially between the unity of Muslims, it is a thing, okay, there are certain things that we as Muslims agree on. We believe that the Quran, the noble Quran, the glorious Quran, is the divine book sent to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this is the strong rope.
So one of the strong ones is that. Another one is the Holy Prophet himself.
Yeah.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other one are the certain practices that we do. Hajj,
yeah.
Shah Ramadan, the Salah, and all the other practices that we have. If you want to go further out, you say, okay, there are certain individuals who are religious, and they have certain things that we can also, and obviously you can go out from pure religion to people who are humankind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so that at least you can live a life, you know, that is worthy for you and worthy for the other person. A life in harmony, in peace, in tranquility.
Yeah. So this was all for today's episode. Thank you for staying with us until another session. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al Alameen. يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the ummah rise again يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the ummah rise again let us see daylight again Once again.
Leaders meeting with women active in science, society and culture. Wednesday, 4th of January 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with a group of women noted for their activities in science, culture and society at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya in Tehran. In this program, we discussed the leader's speech and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. Wednesday, 4th of January, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with a large gathering of prominent Iranian women, all of them active in science, culture and society. The meeting follows a request last year by a group of women for an exclusive meeting with the leader of the Islamic Revolution. Many topics were discussed at this meeting, among them giving expert and academic women a bigger role in policy-making and decision-making, at all levels, including the highest levels of the government. The leader emphasized that a way should be found to make this happen. Another topic of discussion was the difference between the status of women in Islam and in Western societies. The leader poignantly added, "Modern Western society has commented on virtually every aspect of life, during the past 200 years. But with regards to women, Westerners have mistreated women, exploited women, treated them as sexual objects, committed crimes against women, and are certainly guilty. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei talked about Islam's viewpoint with regard to gender and the issue of women. He said, regarding the Islamic viewpoint, it can be said that Islam sees individuals as human beings. Men and women have no priority over each other, and they are both human beings. They are not different in this. The equality of men and women in terms of human and Islamic values is one of the clear principles of Islam. There is no doubt about this. The leader recited Ayah 35 of Surah Ahzab in the Holy Quran that states, indeed, the Muslim men and the Muslim women, the faithful men and the faithful women, the obedient men and the obedient women, the truthful men and the truthful women, the patient men and the patient women, the humble men and the humble women, the charitable men and the charitable women, the men who fast and the women who fast, the men who guard their chastity and the women who guard their chastity, the men who remember Allah greatly and the women who remember Allah greatly. Allah holds in store for them forgiveness and a great reward. The leader emphasized that there is no difference between men and women in terms of human and Islamic values. Islam regards men and women as human beings. Neither one is more favored than the other. Turning to the duties of men and women, which are different, the leader said there is a balance in this regard. He added, there is a holy law mentioned in the Holy Quran in Ayah 228 of Surah Baqarah, where the Almighty says, and women also have rights similar to those of men over them, in accordance with Islamic law. Women have the same number of rights over men as men have rights over women. When a duty is assigned to someone, they have a right in return for it. For every privilege there is given to either side, there is a responsibility. Thus, there is a complete balance. That is about the rights of men and women. Therefore, they do not have the same rights and duties, but it is balanced. When we look at responsibilities, emphasis is placed on the natural characteristics of men and women. There are certain differences between men and women, that is, in the female nature and in the male nature. There are both physical and spiritual differences between men and women. Their duties are in accordance with these differences. These differences have an effect on the type of responsibilities assigned to men and women. This has to do with a feminine and a masculine nature. Turning to the status of women in the modern capitalist West, Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that Western capitalism is a patriarchal system. He pointedly added, what they attribute to Islam, which is incorrect and is the opposite of the truth, exists in their own capitalist system. This viewpoint stems from the fact that in capitalism, capital, that is money or wealth, is more important than humanity. Humans serve capitalism by generating wealth. Whoever is able to generate and accumulate more wealth, that is, more capital, has a higher status in the capitalist system. The leader stressed further, Generally, it is men who manage Western economies and big businesses are run by men. Therefore, men have priority over women in capitalism. Since capital is more in the hands of men, men have a higher priority. So, in the Western system, capital determines the status of people, and people are no longer the same. Different amounts of wealth for each individual gives them different status. Turning to how women are abused in the capitalist West, Ayatollah Khamenei pointed to two ways in which women are abused. He added, one is in the workplace itself. This is an important point. In many Western countries right now, women receive lower wages than men for the same type of work when they perform similar work. Also, in the 19th century, Western women were encouraged to leave their homes and to work in factories where they received much lower wages than men. Commenting on the US Civil War, the leader said, "The same thing happened with regards to the freedom of black people in America during the American Civil War in 1860. That is almost 160 years ago. Over 1 million people were killed in the Civil War. During the Civil War, the issue of freedom of black slaves was raised. Southern United States was mostly agricultural, whereas Northern United States was industrialized. The African American or the black slaves were mostly in the South, where they were used for farming. The people in the North needed cheap labor. They needed these black people, the African Americans. The controversy over freeing the slaves was initiated by the people in Northern United States. Factories in the North needed cheap labor, cheap workers, so black slaves in Southern United States were freed to work as cheap labor in Northern U.S. factories. It is the same method of deception used by the civilized gentleman in the West when dealing with various issues. There are many other such examples." Commenting on the second way in which Western women are abused, the leader said, "Western women are exploited and used to provide pleasure to men. It is actually very difficult for me to talk about this subject in any gathering, but especially in a gathering with women. But this is the reality. What can we do? They did everything they could to convince women that their value and worth was dependent on their behavior in trying to make themselves more sexually attractive to men. They did everything they could. It is a very sad story." The leader added, "I have read many things in this regard. It is very difficult to talk about this. In one American magazine, which was shown to me around 7, 8, or 10 years ago, a very famous American businessman who owned a chain of restaurants announced that he was hiring people. But what type of people? He was hiring young girls and young women under the conditions which were written down in their contract. One of these conditions was that the length of their dress or the length of their skirt needed to be a certain amount above their knees. They had even published a photograph of how the women should look like serving in these restaurants." Turning to the West's shamelessness and brazenness, the leader poignantly remarked, "With all the harm and all that they have inflicted upon women, to a woman's dignity and her honor, they pretend to be the flag bearers of women's rights. That is, Westerners are misusing the case of women's rights in the world for their own intentions. This is truly the ultimate shamelessness by the West. Despite all that, they still say they support women and are in favor of women's rights. This is what is called women's freedom in the impious language of the West. When they say women's freedom, what they really mean is this type of freedom. These things are freedom in their opinion. But in actual fact, this is not freedom. This is slavery. They are insulting women." Commenting on homosexuality in the West, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The legalization of things such as homosexuality in the West, which is forbidden in all divine religions. Talk about homosexuality being forbidden and things like that is not just something found in Islam. These are major sins in all religions. They legalize these and they really do not even feel ashamed about it. Therefore, one of the actions that is obligatory in our society is that we must strictly avoid the Western viewpoint on issues such as gender and sexuality." Commenting further, the leader said, "Praise God! Learned, wise, intelligent, educated women like yourselves exist everywhere. And this group, which is sitting here today, is a sample of the population. You are a flower from a great floral garden. Praise God, we have a large number of discerning, judicious, educated, well-informed women throughout this country." The leader went on to talk about issues of women's role in the subject of family. The leader asked, "So what is a woman's role in the family environment?" He added, "Just as you would not be able to breathe if there was no air in the environment, that is how it would be if there was no woman in your family unit. The woman in the family unit is like fresh air that is breathed in that environment. So, a woman sometimes assumes the role of a wife in the family, and at other times she assumes the role of a mother. There are certain attributes for each role. In the role of a wife, a woman is primarily a manifestation of calm, as it says in the Holy Quran, and made from its mate that he might find comfort with her. She's a source of calm because life has its ups and downs. In this sea of life, a man is busy with work and the turbulence. When he comes home, he needs calm, he needs comfort. This comfort is created by the woman of the house. A woman is a source of tranquility, love and serenity. A woman's role as a wife is to provide love and serenity." In further remarks, the leader of the Islamic Revolution went on to talk about Islamic hijab. He said, "I would also like to add that in recent events, you saw how they worked against hijab and such things. Who were the ones who stood up to these efforts and incitements? The women themselves. The women stood up to them. The enemies had pinned their hopes on these women, who you say are wearing a bad form of hijab. They had pinned their hopes on them. They were hoping that these women would have incomplete hijab, would remove it completely. But they didn't. They slammed those propagandists and instigators in the West." The leader added, "The final thing that I would like to mention is that women have made great progress in the Islamic Republic of Iran in such fields as academia, universities, medicine, cutting-edge technologies, sports, etc." The leader also wished all Iranian women prosperity and success.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Mandegari. Stay tuned. In the religion of Islam, the personality of the woman is respected very much. She has honorable character in Islam. This is why all the relatives of the woman and her belongings are all respected in Islam too. Islam and the Holy Quran have much respect for women. Even when a woman is divorced or her husband dies, Islam considers a specific timing for her till the next marriage, so that her personality and honor is respected. Unfortunately, the women are not respected truly in Western cultures. They are treated like sex dolls. The women are abused and are sexually assaulted. They are dishonored by the satanic temptations of men. Thus, according to Islam, women must be respected and their honor must not be violated because they are the main pillars of a society and a family. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Mandegari. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
In mid-December, the White House and U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders clashed in the run-up to a Senate vote on the War Powers Resolution put forward by the Vermont Independent. Sanders' resolution would have put a definitive end to U.S. support for the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen by ending sharing intelligence for the purpose of enabling offensive coalition strikes and also ending logistical support for offensive coalition strikes, including providing maintenance and spare parts for Saudi fighter jets. But by the evening, Sanders had agreed to withdraw his resolution, saying he would enter negotiations with the White House on compromise language. The Intercept revealed that the White House was pressuring senators to vote against the bill, and the Democrats came out in opposition to Sanders' resolution. Sanders' justification for not holding the vote was that the Biden administration claimed it would work with Congress on ending the war in Yemen. But even if the White House really wants to engage with Congress on the issue, or if Sanders chooses to reintroduce the resolution, the plan will take time, which Yemenis don't have. A similar Yemen War's Powers resolution was passed in 2019 by both the U.S. House and Senate.
U.S. intervention in Yemen is unauthorized, unconstitutional, and immoral. And we must not, we cannot delay voting to end our involvement and our support of Saudi Arabia any further. If we do, we have ourselves to blame for our country's lost credibility on the world stage. And more importantly, our own consciences will bear the blame for the thousands of lives that will surely continue to be lost.
It is a vote to demand that the humanitarian crisis in Yemen be addressed. It is a vote that will tell the despotic dictatorship in Saudi Arabia that we will no longer be part of their destructive military adventurism.
However, the administration of former President Donald Trump vetoed the bill. The Biden administration's opposition marks a reversal on the part of top Biden administration officials, including Jake Sullivan, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, and Wendy Sherman, who signed a letter in 2019 calling on Congress to override then-President Donald Trump's veto of the Yemen War Powers Resolution. Anti-Yemen war advocates say now it is the ideal time to put forth the resolution as the UN-brokered truce in Yemen has expired more than 2 months ago, and the Saudis can resume airstrikes at any time. Since the onset of the war in 2014, the Saudi-led coalition has launched a wide-ranging aerial bombing campaign, carrying out thousands of airstrikes. The coalition also imposed an economic blockade on Ansarullah-controlled areas, including a sea and air blockade, worsening economic conditions for millions of Yemenis. More than 23.4 million people, including 12.9 million children, are in need of humanitarian assistance and protection, almost three-quarters of their entire population. A previously announced anti-U.S. offensive support did not prevent devastating and indiscriminate Saudi airstrikes in Yemen, which occurred as late as March 2022. More than 11,000 children have been killed or maimed as a result of the war, according to UNICEF. Critics say the White House's opposition to the war powers resolution is in fact a gift to the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. In the words of Abdullah Al-Aoud, research director for Saudi Arabia and the UAE at Democracy in the Arab World Now, despite the catastrophic failure of Biden's fist-pump approach with MBS and the Saudi government, it seems that while MBS gets more brutal and emboldened, the administration doubles down on protecting him. The fact is, the American government has protected bin Salman legally in U.S. courts with a legal immunity request, protected him militarily with weapons and arms sales, and protected him politically with pressure on Congress to impede efforts to end the Yemen war. For three presidential administrations now, the U.S. has provided weapons and logistical support to the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. The United Nations estimates that 233,000 people have died in Yemen during the war, more than half of them due to non-combat factors like food insecurity and poor medical care. U.S.-made weapons have been used in attacks that left hundreds, if not thousands, of civilians dead and have helped keep the war raging for nearly 8 deadly years. In his first visit to the State Department as president, Biden said he was ending U.S. support for the Saudi-led campaign in Yemen.
This war has to end. And to underscore our commitment, we are ending all American support for offensive operations in the war in Yemen, including relevant arms sales.
But by December 2021, the administration had pushed an additional sale of missiles to Saudi Arabia through Congress. Biden administration officials have failed to condemn Saudi airstrikes at critical moments and haven't effectively pushed Riyadh to end the blockade that's keeping humanitarian aid away from civilians.
The president welcomes today's announcement of an extension of the truce in the Yemen conflict. The truce in Yemen, of course, was a key agenda item during the president's visit to Saudi Arabia, where he met with the king and the crown prince and with leaders from across the region. We're grateful for the leadership of Saudi Arabia throughout this truce process, as well as for the Sultan and leaders of Oman, who have also played an important role throughout. Now, this truce is now going on 5 months, has brought a period of unprecedented calm in Yemen, saving thousands of lives and bringing tangible relief for countless Yemenis. 5 months, which may not sound like a lot, but when you're talking about 7 years of war, thousands and thousands of Yemeni lives, it counts for a lot. And now we have a chance to extend this another 2 months.
On these grounds, it's quite understandable why the Yemenis are so cynical about the goodwill of the Americans when they promised to work out a truce or ceasefire that would benefit Yemen in the face of the Saudi-led aggression. The Biden administration has had 2 years to do what he promised with regard to Saudi Arabia and Yemen. The only tangible measure it has taken so far is making Sanders withdraw from his anti-war resolution. It's naive to suppose that the Americans will lift a finger to put pressure on Saudi Arabia to end the bloodiest war ongoing in the world.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all. Here again, we have some of the students of Xavier International Schools, Brother Fawad Haider, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah. So, I really welcome you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. How are you?
Are you fine?
Yes.
Yes, Fawad. Hassan?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So today, the same as our previous sessions, inshallah, we'll have one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 254 on page 42. Inshallah. Brothers and sisters, please turn to page 42, Ayah 254 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So before we start, we will listen, everyone, to the recitation of this.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
Alhamdulillah, that was nice. I will be reciting for what? Hassan and Hussein. Make sure you listen, okay? And repeat. All right?
Yes.
Ready? Brothers yes. and sisters, please do the same.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم.
أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة.
أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة.
أحسن.
والكافرون هم الظالمون.
والكافرون هم الظالمون.
أحسن. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. A very important teaching here we have. A very important lesson. Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who have faith, O mu'mineen. Okay? أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ Spend out of what we have provided you. Okay? What we have given you as rizq. Spend. Okay? Give, donate. Give to charity. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ Before there comes a day, okay, that what happens? On which there will be no bargaining, neither friendship, nor intercession. So, guys, there is one important point. And Allah Almighty also says, وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ And the faithless people are those who are the wrongdoers. We all know that this world is gonna end. Yes? This world, I mean dunya. And everyone dies. So whenever someone dies, his life, his time in this world is finished. So he goes to the next world. So when he goes to the next world, when he dies, so he can do nothing to increase his, for example, a'mal. I mean the good deeds, okay? He cannot do anything. Because his file is closed. Okay? It's closed. There will be nothing added. But if someone... Only fathers and mothers who have, like, children, okay? Only from their children's side, yeah, it's open. Still, it's open, okay? Like, if their children, for example, recite any dua, recite any Quran, any verses of the Quran, and dedicate the thawab to their father, of course, this will be written. But they themselves cannot do anything else. So before this day comes to us, okay, guys, we have to do something for ourselves. And this day comes, yes? We believe in the day of judgment. We believe in death, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, death is not something dangerous. It's just your time is up. Go to the next world, okay? Stay there. Wait until the day of judgment, okay? You'll be actually judged as well after death, okay? Before the day of judgment. But you have to be very careful to do good things in this world, okay? And to actually achieve.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Like before day of judgment, you're in Barzakh.
Yes.
So is there any
There is a judgment as well, yes.
Is there any thawab or guna counted there?
Like you cannot do anything. Because the guna, we mean the ma'siyah, for example, okay? The sin. Or for example, rewards or punishments, okay? They mean here in this world. They have meaning. What do we mean? For example, here, if in this world, before death, if you do something good, you will be rewarded. If you do something bad, you will not be rewarded. You will be punished. But in the, for example, when you go to, even in paradise, there is no sin. Okay? Because there is no, actually, any responsibility for you. Okay? There is no haram thing. Haram and halal things, they have meaning here in this world. Okay? Understood? Yeah. Inshallah, when you go to paradise, there is nothing bad there, okay? You can do whatever you do is good. Inshallah, fawad makes dua. So in before after that, of course, you have barzakh, okay? In barzakh also you have heaven and paradise, but it's not forever, okay? It's just, temporary, okay? You're being given rewards also. You're in adab as well, okay? Some people are in adab there until the day of judgment. Some people are in. So guys... that was a short explanation, and we have to remember that before we die, we have to do something for ourselves. Because in the day of judgment, or after our death, no one is there to help us. No one is going to increase the good deeds of us, okay? So Hassan Hussein, that's the message of this ayah. But you need to refer to the Tafsir book, okay? For more explanation.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
وبختم كتابك أرقى وبختم كتابك أرقى.
Now the tajweed rules. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون. The first point is on the mad in the word يا أيها. Is this wajib? We have discussed it a lot.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have not learned it. The answer is no, it's not wajib. Yes. Because ya is one word. Ayu is another word. So two words. Actually, they are compound words, but it's two words.
Yes.
So it's not wajib. Sometimes you can skip the mat, you can stretch the sound. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Or يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. You have the option. You have the right to choose. آمَنُوا. Here also, آمَنُوا. واو مد. حروف المد are three, yes? أليف مد. واو مد. يا مد. These three. Yes? And plus, you have what? حمزة. آمَنُوا. Here you have واو مد plus حمزة. So is the مد واجب here or no?
Wajib.
Wajib, mashallah.
Fawad. No, it's not.
Mashallah, no, it's not wajib. So mashallah goes to which one? To you or Fawad? So Hassan, you judge. Is it wajib or jais? Look, the rule wajib. Says this. The rule says this. If the mad, harful mad, wow, and hamza, if they are both in the same word, in one word, it's wajib. If they are in two separate words, it's not wajib. Now you deal. Judge. Are they in the same word? Huh?
Yeah, yes.
No! Hussein, are they in the same word? Amanu is one word. Anfiqu is another word. Two words.
Different words.
Different words. So it's
both
not
of
wajib.
Them have hamza.
No, they don't. That is, that's alif is just there, okay? It does nothing. It has nothing to do, okay? Amanu anfiqu. So mad is not wajib, it's jais. أنفقوا نون ساكن plus فا. You have to say that the rule إخفاء is applied, which means
hide.
You have to hide the sound of the نون ساكن here. أنفقوا أنفقوا and a nasal sound you have to produce. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا أنفقوا. Right? Hide the sound. Mimma, minma, nun sakin plus mim, idgham. Mimma, razaqo, qalqala, echoing sound. Razaqo, razaqnakum, mim sakin, razaqnakum, mim sakin, plus min starts with mim. Mim sakin plus mim. Fawad, idgham,
mithlain.
The two identical letters. رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ. Yes? مِنْ قَبْلِ. Nun ساكن plus قَاف.
إِخْفَى in إخفى. A way that the next letter.
It should be clear. Yes, the next letter is قَاف. مِنْ قَبْلِ. مِنْ قَبْلِ. أَنْ يَأْتِيَ. أَنْ نُنْ ساكن plus يَا. Hassan says. Nun ساكن plus يَا. What rule is applied?
إقلاب.
إقلاب? That's wrong, Fawad. Just made you fall in mistake. So, iqlab now. Idgham, right? You wanted to say idgham. Idgham, yes? Merging sound.
Yes.
Ayatiya. Ayatiya. Right? So, yawmun. Mim has a tanween. And next word starts with lam. Tanween plus lam. Again. Hassan, again. Say what rule is applied?
Idgham,
yes. We join them. We merge them. Yawmul la bay'un. Yes, bay'un fi. Tanween plus fa. The rule ikhfa is applied, yes? Bay'un, bay'un, bay'un fihi. Right? Bay'un fihi. Wala khullatu idgham. Wala shafa'ah. qalat tells you that it's better to
stop
here. والكافرون هم الظالمون. ظالمون, pronunciation of the letter ظَا with an A sound. والكافرون هم الظالمون. For sure they are. Yes? They are, yes, the wrongdoers. So that's all about this ayah. Inshallah, in the coming sessions, we'll be having the next verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? We'll talk about them. We'll practice the tajweed rules. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us in this session. We recommend you stay with us on IRIB English Radio every day with a Quranic session. So, let's give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network for cooperations. And see you, inshallah, in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.